Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Sherry KB, and I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from Northern California. Today is Friday, March the 15th, and this is our 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we're reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we're in Chapter 1, page 13 in Bill's story, starting with the fourth paragraph, beginning with, "I was to test my thinking." And we'll be reading this one paragraph only. It ends with, "but that would be in great measure." We'll be commenting only on this one paragraph today. Our readers today are Peggy M. for the 12 Steps, Athena B. for the 12 Traditions. The readers of our text are Julie E. B., Marilyn T., and Robin P. Our newcomer greeter today is Leslie M., and Janice P. M. will be making announcements. The share ID for yesterday, Thursday, March 14th, 2019, our 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 12,661. That's 12661. And the share ID for this morning's Friday meeting, March 15th, our 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 12,664. That's 12664. The OA pre-emblem. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals through shared experience, strength, and hope are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Peggy M. to please read our 12 steps of OA. Peggy? Star 1 to unmute, please.
Good morning. Peggy M., compulsive overeater recovered today. 12 steps. Number 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a certain and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continue to take personal inventory when we were wrong, we admitted it. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. So thank you for letting me do service, and thank you for your service. Happy Friday. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Peggy. And now we'll hear from Athena B. for the 12 Traditions of OA. Athena?
Good morning, everybody. This is Athena B. from Recovered Compulsive Overeater from Northern California. Our traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. NOA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Thus, problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me be of service.
Thank you, Athena B. And how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book on
how do I in order to have a quiet meeting? Quiet meeting.
13, paragraph 4, in chapter 1, Bill's story, starting with the fourth paragraph.
How do I mute?
I was to test my thinking, and we'll read through that one paragraph only, ending with, but that would be in great measure. So I will now ask Julie E.B. to please read. Julie?
This is Julie.
Thank you, Julie.
This is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered compulsive over and under eater from Colorado Springs, Colorado.
Hi, how do I mute myself? Can you explain the process to me?
Sorry for the interruption, Julie. Please go ahead. Thank you so much.
There
you go. Thank you, Julie.
I tried muting and remuting. I was to test my thinking by the new God consciousness within. Common sense would thus become uncommon sense. I was to sit quietly when in doubt, asking only for direction and strength to meet my problems as he would have me. Never was I to pray for myself, except when my requests bore on my usefulness to others. Then only may I expect to receive, but then it would be in great measure. Well, I'm so grateful to be sharing on this today. You know, I used to just test my thinking. Well, not at all. And I used to spend most of my day thinking, spinning and spinning like a gerbil on the wheel. And sitting quietly was virtually impossible for me. Always moving, either gaining, losing weight, thinking about my problems, the resentments of yesterday, the fears of tomorrow, trying not to think about the harms I had done to other people. And so something amazing happened for me. When I put down the food and became abstinent, I figured out and became increasingly willing to let go of my abstinent foods. I started with basic abstinence. And then God showed me along the way more direction and strength, different abstinent foods, ingredients, and behaviors. And then I got into this book. And as I get into this book, especially in the chapter more about alcoholism,
someone advised me to read it as more about thinking and myself as having an alcoholic mind. And as I got into that, then I came to see that my thinking was all revolving around myself, and my caring and protecting and taking care of myself as I had for a long time, but it left me with a lot of pain and a lot of struggle, and I was always in my thoughts and never in action. So I picked up this simple spiritual toolkit. I mean, talk about simple. This is uncommon sense, but I sit quietly. This can be an action for me to sit quietly and ask for direction and strength. How did I get the ability to sit quietly? I worked these steps. I went through the fourth step. I took those actions. I released it to my sponsor. I became willing and asked God to remove my shortcomings. When I went through the amends process, as we talked about yesterday, an incredible thing happened. I mean, my counselor's like, wow, what happened to you? In these last 2 weeks, you've made more progress than you did in the 2 years you've been working with me. And that's not to put him down. That was a support for me, because by facing the things, the ways that I had been living and clearing my slate, now have a daily ability to just sit quietly and ask for direction and strength. And my mind is quiet today. This disease centers in my mind. And if your mind is not yet quiet, get into action. Get a sponsor. Put down the food that you think you need to quiet your mind. And figure out a way that sometimes, hey, doubt still comes up. But when that doubt comes up, I can ask for direction and strength. Before that, I would just ask that life would turn out perfectly for me, or that I would triumph over everything. I'd start a new diet on Monday.
Hi.
It was all about me. And so now I have usefulness to others, and I'm thankful for that. And I pass.
Thank you, Julie B., and thank you for getting us started. So again, we're reading in Chapter 1, Bill's story, starting with Paragraph 4, and we're going to read that one paragraph only. I was to test my thinking, and we'll be commenting on that one paragraph. Who would like to share this morning? And we've asked that if you shared a couple within the last couple of days, please give others a chance to share. I'm sorry, who was
that? Lisa H.,
Lisa A.
Robin P.
Is that Robin P?
Yes.
Is that P as in Paul?
Yes, it is. Thank you.
Thank you. Who would like to be next? Have Lisa H, Robin P. Got room for others. Come on in, please. Star one to unmute if you'd like to share.
Rebecca R., could I share?
Sharon S.
Rebecca R., and I heard Sharon
Marilyn
S.
Marilyn T.
Sharon
Who
S.
Who is something C? Somebody C? I didn't hear your first name because somebody talked over you. Okay, I'm sorry I didn't hear somebody's last initial C. So we've got a place for two more. Come on in, please. I have places.
CW.
Something W?
Kathy W.
Kathy W. Okay, Kathy, thank you. And we'll have room for one more. Come on in. Who else would like to share this morning? Star one to unmute, please. Anyone else?
This is Janice P.M. I don't know if I want to be obedient. And
I appreciate that, Janice. We'll take you, and we'll go on from there. Thanks, Janice. So
okay,
I have Lisa H., Robin P., Rebecca R., Sharon S., Kathy W., and Janice P.M. So, Lisa, get us started, please.
Thank you. Good morning. This is Lisa H., a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater from Tennessee. And, you know, every time I see that God consciousness, and this is new God consciousness, you know, and consciousness is the state of being awake and aware. So this tells me that I need to be awake and aware of God's presence in my life. And how do I do that? You know, before program, I thought I had this great relationship with the higher power. But in truth, it wasn't until I put down the food, put down my alcoholic binge foods and behaviors, after about a week of physical withdrawal, it was like I had woken up. And suddenly it was like my thinking was clearer, and it was just a beautiful thing. And again, having had a spiritual awakening. And how did that happen? Well, I did get abstinent, but I did continue. I just started working the steps. And after each step, it was as if this weight was being lifted from my shoulders, and I continued to wake up. But I do know I can't rest on my laurels, and I really only have a daily reprieve. You know, I may go to sleep recovered, but I wake up untreated, and I have to continue to cultivate that God consciousness, you know, and so it's not just in the morning and it's not just at night. I do need to pause throughout the day and have kind of gotten into that habit of being able to pause and ask for the next right thought or action and asking for the God of my understanding to direct me. It's not, you know, I used to tell my sponsors, my sponsees that, you know, it does say we won't be inspired at all times, you know, but by doing this work and living in 10, 11, and 12, it definitely makes the day in and day out, and when difficult things happen, it makes it a little bit easier. Thanks for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Lisa H. And Robin P., you're followed by Rebecca R. Robin?
Hi, this is Robin P. I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Vero Beach, Florida. And thanks so much for your service today. And, you know, this is a perfect paragraph for me today because, you know, yesterday I had my whole day planned. And I got a call from my mom, and who lives an hour and a half away from where we just moved to, and she wanted me to go to the doctor with her. And so I rescheduled and just I prayed about it. I did exactly this and just got quiet and asked God to show me what to do. And I went with her, and I happened to be an inventor, and I invented these portable exercise pedals. And she started talking to the doctor about them, and he asked to see them. I went and got them, and he bought them for his patients. And I just thought, wow, that's so God. You know, I wasn't praying for myself. I was praying to be of service. And also, it just shows the testimony to me about working the steps, because I've really had to work the steps with my mom. You know, there was a lot of abuse, a lot of neglect stuff. And, you know, for me to have the relationship that I have with her today is completely God and the program in action. And so I could just see, and I used to scoff at this, you know, only praying for useful to be of usefulness to others. I thought, oh my gosh, what about me? You know. And now over time I see that that is the better, much better way to go. And I do pray that earnestly every morning, please show me your will and help me to do it and help me to be of service to you, my fellows, and just show me your will. And it's such a blessing to honestly want that instead of, you know, judging that. So thank you so much. God bless everybody in your recoveries. And with that, I pass.
And thank you, Robin P. And Rebecca R., you're followed by Sharon S. Rebecca?
Good morning. This is Rebecca R. from Texas. I was thinking as I read this, I've been in and out of program for a good 30 years. And
I had 22 years abstinence, and I went back out. And I've been abstinent since November. And I've just had the psychic change take place recently. And I don't know quite how to describe the God consciousness, except that I simply ask God to tell me to do the next right thing. I get overwhelmed quickly, like a lot of us, and I do my meeting in the morning, and I'm also a student and a mom, and I have my breakfast, and then I say a prayer. God, what would you have me do next? And then I go do it. I do one thing at a time. I finish it. Then I say in prayer, God, what would you have me do next? And then I go do it. And then God will tell me when it's time to eat and what to eat. I mean, it sounds very childish, but it works. And it's very freeing, and it's very much a gift, and it takes all the burden off of me of writing down in my date book everything I have to do for the day, because the first day I had this God consciousness, I got stuff done that I've been putting off for a year. I mean, I just got lots of stuff done, and I wasn't tiring easily, and I wasn't upset, and I wasn't anxious, and I didn't make a huge list. I just simply did one thing, finished it, prayed about it, and asked to do the next. And God also told me when to rest. So I'm really grateful for God showing me that when I put him in charge of my life and I sit quietly asking him for direction, that everything turns out great, much better than I can do it just by myself on my own self-will. With that, I pass.
Thank you, Rebecca R. and Sharon S. You're followed by Kathy W. Sharon? Star 1 to unmute, please. Sharon S. Can you hear me? Can I be heard?
This is Sharon S. from Minnesota. And I love this sentence, common sense would become uncommon sense. I have been in the 12-step rooms for many years, but I've been food obsessed from my earliest memories. But I first got introduced to the 12 steps in AA. So when I came and I put down the alcohol, and my food addiction just went crazy. So when I got into the rooms of OA, I thought I knew it all. So, you know, I'd read the book, I'd been to meetings, I know all about the 12 steps. And my arrogance and pride kept me stuck for a long time. So for me, this uncommon sense is to sit quietly, not only and ask my higher power for help, but to ask those in the rooms in whom the problem has been solved for help, and to put aside everything I thought I knew, everything I thought I, you know, all this stuff in my head spinning. And when they say the problem centers in the mind, my mind was so distorted by my delusional thinking that I could not listen or I could not hear, because if you know it all, there's no way to learn anything. So it was a profoundly moving and humbling experience to say, would you help me? And yes, I'll listen, and I am willing. to do whatever it takes in order to recover from this disease. And then, you know, in the beginning, my higher power was the meeting and the people that I met there. But in the long run, that isn't enough. For me, that's just like being on another diet, depending on other frail human beings to keep me abstinent. So I became willing to listen to the God of my understanding. And so this idea that we pray through service, we pray through our meetings, we pray through being present to those around us, our family, our friends, our workmates, all of those things, we carry this into all of our affairs. And what I have learned more than anything else is how to listen. Listen to my next right thought or action. Listen to someone who's trying to talk to me. And it has profoundly changed my life. And so common sense that I know everything to the uncommon sense of I know nothing was a spiritual transformation for me that it's very hard to describe. So anyway, I am so grateful for this program. It has saved my life. It has given me a life. And with that, I'll pass.
And thank you, Sharon S. And Kathy W., you're followed up by Janice P.M. Kathy W.?
Hi, this is Kathy W. from Denver. It was silent, so I decided to share. I guess I've been struggling with, like, getting into the program and, like, fully taking it and, like, the surrender to the higher power. And this whole paragraph we read today is pretty much, I think, about like surrendering, and I've been kind of struggling with that and like kind of angry that I can't figure it all out. Like I see all these really awesome recovered people and I get jealous, but I don't think that's the point. Maybe I should be like hopeful or something. I really like the sentence that stood out was common sense would thus become uncommon sense. I at first like had no idea what that meant, and that's why it stood out. But I think it means like the disease thoughts that I've had for so many years and so long, that's by common sense, like that's the norm for me right now. And I have hope that maybe if I look to God and look to my fellows that maybe it'll stop and chill out or something like that. Okay, pass.
And thank you, Kathy W. And before we hear from Janice P.M., I'm just going to remind everybody where we're at. We're in Bill's story, the fourth paragraph. I was to test my thinking. We're going to read that one paragraph only. And I'll take names after Janice shares with us. Janice?
Well, good morning to you, my dear Sherry KB. My name is Janice P.M., and I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. Yeah, so we see that Bill's going through the steps. Now he's at steps 10 and step 11. And I'm going to zoom in on the word test. I'm going to test. So to me, I'm saying, gee, what's a test? A test is usually a question and answer, period, right? They give me the questions and I give the answers. Well, in this case, what I'm doing, the minute I get up in the morning and step 10, I'm going to ask myself some questions. And usually it's to ask God, to ask if I asked God to test my thinking in the morning. Especially all this is right on page 86 and 87. And I want, you know, let me see now. Today, I want to get out of self-pity. I don't want to be dishonest. So you give me the answers, okay? Now, this is the morning, in the morning, you know, and I want to help somebody else. And if I'm undecided, please help me to make a decision. So those are some of the things that I want to do in the morning, during the day. That's step 10. Now, at night, I take another test. And that's, you know, getting sitting with God, asking him, gee, God, was I honest today? You know, was I resentful? And you're testing yourself. And you'll get the answers because, you know, we're truthful. But we don't want to be so morbid. We want to ask God for the answer, not to be so critical of ourselves or morbid or remorseful, because that would not be useful to another person. So that's what I see with the test. And then, you know, I can even do it because this step 10 is after 4 through 9. So this is a daily practice for me that I have to, you know, ask myself these questions of 4 through 9. Of my character defects, did I do this? How was I with this? That's the answer. And then whatever I get, I do better the next day. And also, it just is very simple. Questions like this, you know, answering them honestly, was, am I working the program? Am I just being a wonderful person on the, wonderful, listen to me, being so nice and all this and gentle on the, if I am, on the line, or how am I practicing these steps? What have I done today? What have I done, you know, help me not to be so critical? And these are the answers. So a test is an answer to a question. And those are the questions morning and night and during the day. And thank you for allowing me to share.
Thank you, Janice PM. So just reminding everybody, we're on page 13, paragraph 4. We're sharing on that paragraph only. Who would like to share?
Tracy K.
Tracy K.
Donna B.
Donna B. Have room for everybody. Come on in.
Rachel P.
Rachel P. Is that P as in Peter? Okay. Hope that was Rachel P.
Patty T.
Patty T.
Mo H.
Mo H. And
Joanne
B. More.
Joanne B.
Clara G.
Joanne B. And who is the next person? If we can have room, we'll get you in there.
Clara G.
Did you say Clara G?
Yes.
Clara G. Okay, we'll see if we can fit you in there, Clara. Thanks.
Sure.
Okay, so Stacy K, you're up. Tracy K, you're up, followed by Donna B. Tracy?
Hi, this is Tracy K, recovered in Ontario, Canada. I really enjoyed hearing the last part of this paragraph where it talks about never was I to pray for myself. Except as my request for my usefulness to others, then only might I expect to receive, but that would be in great measure. It's so funny to me and so interesting is that the paradox is in this program. For years I tried to control my food and was absolutely unable to control my food. And when I finally admitted my powerless over food, then I started to recover. And it's the same thing with what's being discussed here. For years and years, I tried every kind of self-help book, every kind of method of being a happier person, a more contented person, a less anxious person, a less angry person, and never was I able to do better for myself. Never was I able to reach any kind of equanimity in my life. And then coming through program and learning to do God's will, praying to be of usefulness to God, and starting to really think about other people, what other people need, how I can be of service to, you know, not just the people in program, but the people in my life. I find that my anger goes away, my anxiety goes away. So as I move away from that self-centeredness, and focus on becoming God-conscious, all of my problems are gradually, slowly removed, and I'm happy, useful, and free. With that, I pass.
Thank you, Tracy K. And Donna B., you're up, followed by Rachel P. Donna B.?
It's Anna B.?
Anna. I'm sorry, Anna.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay.
Go ahead, Anna.
Yes. I like to focus on this while I was sitting quietly when in doubt. And this really speaks to me because I've been in doubt a lot of times. And it speaks to me one time in my life when I lost everything, my physical health, my mental health, it just, everything just seemed to go. I mean, and then there was just nothing but me and God. And that little mustard seed of truth was in me, and I just really felt it. So can you imagine poor Bill, he was just sitting there just in doubt, but he just needed that little tiny bit to ask God to give him what he needed to do. And there's times since then in my life I'm in a lot of doubt, and I just always go back to remember when, you know, you were in doubt and everything turned out okay. And that to me was just really wonderful, that even though our connection with God or our faith is kind of goes up and down, God still comes through. And when we ask, we receive. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Anna B. And Rachel P., you're followed by Patty T. Rachel? Rachel P.?
Hi, good morning, my fellows. This is Rachel P. in recovered compulsive overeater in Denver, Colorado. And I love, these first few lines about challenging our thinking. It almost reminds me of like a cognitive behavioral therapy kind of method, but in this case with the 12 steps and with this surrender piece, this connection with our higher power, it's not a self-will action method that we're using. It's surrendering to the higher power as a means of changing our thoughts, the thoughts that come up in the diseased thinking. So, in practice for me, when I have a thought that comes up that, when I was in my disease, I couldn't identify as diseased thinking, but now in recovery, I can. So, for example, this morning I have a thought come up where I'm looking in the mirror, that my stomach is big and that I have excess skin and that, I don't like my body. And I, now that I'm in recovery, I'm able to turn that around and call in my higher power and know that, I am exactly as I am supposed to be according to my higher power's will. And then go in to think about how I can serve somebody else. That is the action of the program that I can take. It's one of the many actions in using the steps that's been so helpful to me in recovery. So it's a matter of identifying the disease thinking, calling in my higher power to replace it with a thought that is not necessarily an affirmation or something positive, but that is calling in the surrender and surrendering to my higher power's will and what my higher power would have me think and act on, and then turning to somebody else. And that is the crux of this program, especially as we get to step 10, 11, and sitting in that meditation and connecting and surrendering with my higher power to then become a recovered person. And it's gradual. It happens for me over time. It doesn't happen, we don't just wake up and decide to work the 12 steps, but it's a matter of action every single day in order for it to gradually click. And it has clicked, but it's still a work in progress for me. And I'm just so grateful that I get to do this work and continue to grow every single day. This work never ends. So thank you so much, everyone, for being on the line and for being part of my recovery. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Rachel P. And Patty T., you're followed by Mo H. Patty?
Hi, everybody. Happy Friday. It's Patty T. from Southern California, recovered today by the grace of God. And I have just loved all these shares. And I don't know what I can add to anything, but I needed to say out loud that I am having experiences daily with this new God consciousness within. I the ability to pause rather than just react in my old way is profound. I don't know. It's not for me to know. It's for God to know and to let me know. And that's what I'm discovering. You know, I'm writing down the things that I need to take action toward dealing with. And then I'm asking God in a letter to God, okay, you have any ideas? And then I just let go. You know, I let go and I breathe. And then I pick up that pen again and God takes it up and lets me know what I can do. Well, I can call for an estimate on my, you know, car that needs body work. I can, you know, ride my bike to the subway station rather than drive all the way into work to get a little extra exercise. I, you know, the answers are simple and common sense, but, you know, they're uncommon sense to me because I only think of what's easier, softer, you know, like that's my go-to. But when I pull God in, God asks me to stretch myself a little and to just take a tiny step forward and see what happens. And I'm telling you, and then being of service to others and sharing this information about the meeting, about my own recovery, about these steps, I can't begin to tell you that, you know, the things I'm receiving are in great measure. And I'm doing very little, but I am opening myself to others. And gosh, what a tremendous, tremendous benefit. So, have a great St. Patrick's Day, everybody, and I'm going to pass. Bye.
Thank you, Patty T. Mo H., you're followed by Joanna B. Mo?
Hey. Yeah, good morning, Sherry KB. Mo H. here in Walnut Creek, California. Thank you for your service, Sherry, and all those on the line and all the wonderful shares that I've heard so far. I was just going to be listening today, but I guess got nudged. Yes, what God does for me. I want to say that step 10 was the turning point of my years in program. When I learned how to do a step 10 and how to take care of all that was going on with me throughout the day, really helped me take care of the feelings and not deal with the food. And now this is really dealing with step 11. And I liked what was said about the word test, and I like what the person before me just said, because I want to zero in on the words sit quietly. And for those of you that know me, I have a hard time being quiet and sitting quietly, but I have transposed that for myself to pause. And so when I notice that I get agitated, and this just happened yesterday, and it also happened the day before, and the day before I had to do a 10-step on it. My husband, loving husband, will come out to where I am, and he'll ask me a question, and it's not a question that's a yes-no answer. It's a question that involves doing something with him. And so yesterday, he asked me, it's the first day he asked me a question, and I didn't respond very lovingly, and we got into a little riff, and I did a 10-step around it. Yesterday, when he asked me a question, if I would help him after lunch, I said, let me eat my lunch first, and let's talk about it. Because I had planned God and I had planned what I was going to do after lunch. And, you know, now that I'm thinking about it, maybe God wanted me to do what he wanted to do. But we sat down after lunch and planned a time when we can get together and work on the taxes. It was the taxes. So for me, it's about pausing and then letting God come in and show me what to do. And when I paused, God showed me to say, look at your calendar and see when you're both free. Because I really wasn't free yesterday afternoon. And so that really, really, really helped me. And so that's what I see with this paragraph is the pause. And I can do that throughout the day. And I can just step back from whatever I'm doing. And if I'm not driving, close my eyes and then ask God, what's the next right action? And that way I'm being of service to my higher power and to you rather than doing what I want to do. And thank you for letting me share. And everybody have a great weekend. Take care. Bye.
Mo H and Joanna B and Clara G will have room for both of you if you take about 3 minutes each. Joanna B?
This is Joanne B from Texas. Thank you for your service. It's good to hear everyone on the line, and it seems to help, doesn't it, when to at least say hello. I know when I'm out of the room because of work, I get kind of homesick for you all. Anyway, one of the things that stood out to me was never was I to pray for myself except as my requests bore on my usefulness to others. And sometimes my thinking is so black and white that I will, in learning how to listen to this new guidance from God and to follow, you know, to try to follow his direction, I have this tendency to, without realizing it, I don't interpret what I'm hearing sometimes very well. And I know when I first came into program, I was already pretty benevolent with my time. So I became more so, and I don't know how to say this, but learning how to actually step back and be able to know when it was okay to say I'm not available, when was God guiding me to say that I needed to do my responsibilities, because I would always set my responsibilities aside. And so over the last couple of years, I've realized, and I'm learning that kind of what that next right thing is, what that means. And in learning to pray that I'm of service to others, I can also realize that some of the responsibilities that I have are also useful to others if I will do them in a timely manner. And the example, I guess, is that I had a friend and a fellow in my fellowship that wanted me to do something, and I was thinking, I kept thinking, no, we don't need to be doing this. And because she has been in program a lot longer than I was doubting what I was being led to not do. And I had a responsibility that I've been learning to focus on, because it is something that needs to be done. And so I got to do a 10th step through it and try to figure out what was going on and realize that, in fact, what I was hearing was correct. I needed to not do what was – thank you. I needed to not do it, and I needed to go ahead and trust what my higher power was guiding me to do. Thank you so much, and with that, I pass.
Thank you, Joanne B. And Clara G., we have about a minute for you. Can you come on in, please? Star one to unmute, Clara.
Hi, this is Clara. I like this, that we pray for ourselves only when it will be useful to others. And instead of me being preoccupied to get love, all my kids to love me, my husband, my friends, everybody to love me, if it's like if I can convert that preoccupation in making sure that I feel love and I have love to give to others. And the idea is wonderful, and I would love that idea, but the truth is that I cannot make myself love anybody. I can just take my inventory and see how little love really I have for everybody, including my loved ones. And so with that, I can go to God and ask Him to please give me love to give. And it will feel wonderful for me because it's His energy. And if He gives me love to give, I will be receiving love because it will go through me. But and then I can expect that He will give it to me in great measurements because it's like I'm asking for me, you know, to open my heart, but it's for me to give to others. And I believe that that is His will for me. So actually, it will make me happy. It will make others happy. And I just love this paragraph because it you know, it turns it around for me. And then that is actually things what I'll be praying for God to open my heart to fill it with love. Thank you.
Thank you, Clara G. And that's all the time we have today. What a great meeting. Thank you all for sharing today. And I want to thank Team Friday for their service. Peggy M. on the 12 Steps, Athena B. on the 12 Traditions. Our text was read by Julie E. B., and page 164 will be read by Robin P. And let's see, and then our backup was, I've got that backwards. Sorry, Marilyn T. is going to read page 164, and Robin P. was our backup today, waiting in the wings. Newcomer greeter was Leslie M., will be Leslie M., and announcements will be Janice P.M. So we will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And now will Marilyn T. please read A Vision for You. Our book is meant to be suggestive only and keep you until then. Marilyn?
All right. This is Marilyn T., grateful, recovered compulsive overeater in Northern California. Our book is meant to be just suggestive only. We realize we only know a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and for countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of the past, of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the happy road to destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.